Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hey guys, Chris here, and welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. As always, I'm Chris, and I'm going to talk about some games with you today. So yeah, following up from last episode, really, with the content for today, but I'm going to start off with some news. Okay, so news for this week. In the last couple of days, it has been announced that Elder Scrolls New Horizons has got a summer update, launched on the 29th of July, ready for August. They're bringing back the fireworks from last year. They seem to have added the Halloween stuff in early as well. Yeah, the Halloween stuff is in the game as well, so pretty cool. Might hint at slightly less frequent updates going forward, but they did also say in the post they are working hard on further updates to be released later this year, so it looks like there is some more substantial updates coming. Obviously, as with every update at the moment, data mines have been happening, and they had been mentioned like a cafe in some earlier builds of the game. This data mine has shown that there has been more work, more progress done with the cafe stuff. So a lot of people are expecting from the data mine that there will be a return for Brewster and the cafe. It's a cool thing in New Leaf. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing if that does come across. It is one of the main things that is missing from the game still. And another thing that has been spotted in data mines is references that could indicate Katrina, who is the fortune-telling cat. So, yeah, there's been a couple of data mines that hinted towards fortunes and stuff like that. So, yeah, it could be a case that Brewster and Katrina, some long-awaited and missed characters, could be returning to Animal Crossing fairly shortly. So yeah, we're excited to see what they do, and they did say later in the year they will be having a some more stuff to show off and more stuff added to the game. So hopefully that will be something that does come to fruition, because it'd be good to see those updated for the new game. And yeah, so there's more to the game to do, really. On the subject of free updates, second bit of news is bit of a surprise announcement, because it wasn't announced that it would be happening beforehand, but new Pokemon Snap is actually getting free content added to it in an update. Beginning of August, they will be releasing a free DLC, which includes 3 new areas and 20 new Pokemon. Some cool little things, and some great new Pokemon, though Snorlax as well, and by the looks of it. And there's little cool features, like you can shrink down and get like a different view of all the different Pokemon and different surroundings. So a lot more chance of getting some more dynamic and great photos, which is really good. But yeah, the fact that it's coming for free is really great. And like I say, it wasn't announced beforehand, so people weren't expecting there to be any new Pokemon Snap updates. So yeah, it's really exciting to see what they do with it, and see how it comes across and what the new areas hold. Get on to the third bit of news. It's quite a big bit, and quite a serious one, to be fair. Activision Blizzard is facing a lawsuit from the state of California. This relates to working practices and working conditions for employees, particularly female employees in the workplace. covers stuff like equality, how they're treated at work, at the workplace. Like, there are some quite serious allegations come out. It's a 2-year investigation, and at the end of it, the state of California has decided to sue Activision Blizzard. It does appear to be more the Blizzard side, from what I can gather. So the studios in Blizzard. Like I said, I've not read up on everything. I don't know all the ins and outs. And obviously, it is an ongoing court case. There are stuff going on still. But some of the things that were raised in the lawsuit were just the work environments, how the guys were around girls, and how female employees were made to feel uncomfortable, and it's not great. And there was one case that brought up where it appears that a female employee actually committed suicide on a work trip because of how her male colleagues were treating her and being around her. So it's quite a serious thing. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, I'm not going to go too depth in the moment because it is a changing situation. And also, I am probably going to try and do a whole episode based on it. Because it's still fairly new and quite a lot coming out still about it. I don't want to get too stuck into it all today. There had been lots of things going on, like action by the staff. People having to leave or being fired. Chief executive was criticised for not saying anything. And then when the value of the company dropped by 10% in the stock markets, a kind of statement came out from him. It's very interesting to see exactly what's going to happen there. And like I said, I do want to cover it a bit more in a proper episode. So yeah, we'll get stuck into the ins and outs of that. That experience, really. One bit of news, breaking news from today, really. It's not been officially confirmed, but there are growing reports that it looks unlikely that Horizon Forbidden West will hit its 2021 release date. It didn't have an official release date. A lot of people were saying, like Grid themselves were saying, they were hoping and aiming towards a 2021 holiday release date, so it would be November time. But there's been quite a few reports recently saying it's not recently going to happen, so they are now looking at a quarter one 2022 release date. Like I say, it's not officially been confirmed by Sony, so it is take a pinch of salt. Of course, we don't have a release date at all yet, so it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens there. And that does round up my news, so in a minute I'm going to move on to the main subject of the show today. Okay, so if you listened into the last episode, you would have known we covered video games based on films which weren't very good. So it was looking at the games that didn't fill up their potential, or just bad games in general. We do have the flip side of this episode. It is looking at games based on video games, games which were based on films, which were well-respected and did pretty well. Everyone's got a game based on a video game that they love. A game based on a film, sorry. I keep on getting this mixed up. Everyone's got a game based on a film that they like, I think, in most cases. For me, it's thinking back to the Mega Drive era or Sega Genesis, when we had the Aladdin video game. That was a lot of fun. So remember the cheat, you can press start to pause the game, and it's ABBA, ABBA, and it'll skip you to the next level. Really cool, because it's quite a challenging platformer, but a really fun game. Had a really cool level with a genie, based around a friend like me, and like the escape on the carpet. It's pretty nostalgic there. Likewise, you have the Lion King video game, which again was a platformer. They did actually release both these games in a combo pack in the last 18 months or so, or perhaps 2 years probably. They did release that as a duo pack, like a two pack, both games together, which is really cool. A lot of fun. Another game that has been getting a lot of attention recently is Jurassic World Evolution, which is a kind of park building simulator, or kind of SimCity style thing, but based around running Jurassic World, basically. So that's a lot of fun, having a go at playing God effectively with the dinosaurs. But yeah, there's been a lot of people who have been enjoying it. We'll talk more in depth about a few other games though. So I'm going to start off with King Kong, the official game of the movie. I know the film King Kong was a bit rough. Some people liked it, some people didn't. A lot of people thought it was far too long. It was obviously directed by Peter Jackson, who did the Hobbit stuff to start with. King Kong, the video game, did actually quite a lot of things. It's quite clever in its approach to how it did it. It was a first-person game as well, so not a first-person adventure game, kind of like Metroid Prime style. It was made by Ubisoft. It was developed by Ubisoft Montpellier. I was saying they thought the rest of the game was a bit longer because it was such a good game. But basically, it's a first-person survival shooter that put you in the shoes of Jack Driscoll. And basically, it did have a bit where you could play as Kong as well, which is cool. But it's handled really well, felt a lot more than the normal game tie-in. It also made the game feel a bit more challenging, so it wasn't a straightforward collect-a-thon or fairly easy to get through. One thing they did do is they took away all the display stuff, so there's no HUD, so there's no kind of gauges, it's literally just the room, just the like environment on the screen. So that's a really cool touch, something that probably you would see today. Don't say the game was polished up, it could have been remastered and re-released today and still done pretty well, I think. A lot of people really liked it because it's something a bit different. Got out of first-person survival horror or survival shooter kind of route did kind of really pay off, I think, for the game. It's going to be about 80%, 82% on Metacritic, I think, so fairly well-reviewed, I think. The next big game I'm going to talk about properly in depth is Spider-Man 2. Announced, but kind of expected game from Insomniac. This is going way back to the early 2000s. 2004 tie into the second Spider-Man film in the original trilogy with Tobey Maguire. This game was a showcase for open world games. I think it kind of really set the bar very high. A lot of people love it, and a lot of people do say it's paved the way for the more recent Spider-Man games from Sony. Especially for the time in 2004, it was incredibly impressive open world. You could actually explore the city as you wanted. It was really, really good physics system as well. A lot of people were really impressed with how the physics worked and how it controlled, how smooth it felt. And yeah, you could do it all. You could do the story. You could just traverse the city, and then you can also stop small crimes going on in the city. It's got the main missions. The combat was pretty cool, pretty good, and well controlled. A lot of unlockable abilities. And They added other enemies in, or the Spider-Man villains in, like Mysterio and Shockpad, Shocker, sorry. You have pads out of the main story where you go up against Doc Ock. A lot of people say that, so 17 years later, playing it now, it is a really good game still. A lot of people do really enjoy it, and yeah, a lot of people do think that the Insomniac Spider-Man games do owe a lot to this game as its kind of inspiration. So yeah, it's one of the best superhero games made, and also well respected as a game and film tie-in. What I'm going to talk about now, which has been it's been seen as pretty iconic, to be fair, is GoldenEye 007. This is going back to the N64 era. It's way back in 1997, I believe. So, yeah. Back in the 90s, if you talk about a game tying to a movie, GoldenEye is one of the ones that always comes up. It pretty much brought in the split screen first person shooter genre. It is the first one to do it properly. Obviously, the N64 having four control pads meant that you could do four players per console, which is really cool. Yeah, it's just become iconic in its status. A lot of people love it, and a lot of people just love it. But I'm saying it kind of defined the entire generation of players coming together to turn virtual shooting into matches into art. So basically it's fairly simple but quite layered. And there's lots of multiplayer modes which are really intense, also can be quite funny as well. And lots of things you can add in. Yeah, it's like a solid single player mode, which is good as well, so went for the story. We added a lot of realism, and the score was really great, that kind of really heightened the suspense we needed to. The game did come out about 2 years after the film did, so it wasn't by any means brought out to tie in directly to the game. It wasn't brought out the same year or like literally similar time of the year. Nintendo and Rare really did take their time and got it right. It's a game that a lot of people want to see come back. I know it was remade a couple of years ago, but I think the people who had the rights at the time decided to do like a remaster of it, or kind of rebuild it from the ground up. I didn't really have the success that the original did. A lot of people think it didn't keep the kind of sensational magic that the original had. It's understandable. I think they have been looking at doing different kind of remasters and kind of remakes, but it's just the whole licensing thing that's really complicated. Because obviously Rare developed it, who are now owned by Microsoft. Nintendo published it, who have had to deal with the copyright owners of James Bond. And obviously the film rights have, or the game rights for films have kind of moved around to different people as well. So in terms of getting everyone needed to cooperate and get the game remade properly, it is quite a big kind of task to make sure that everything lines up to allow it to come out again. It's a very interesting thing. Like I said, I don't think it ages particularly well. So the frame rate can be pretty ropey in places, even though it's an S4 game, so it's kind of expected. I think it is one of those cases where the way the nostalgia kind of holds it up above like what it plays like nowadays, but it really was iconic in the first-person shooter kind of genre, and kind of introducing that the four-player split-screen competitions, effectively. So, yeah, That's really, really well loved game based on film there. So yeah, go look at some more ones in a sec. Go come up with the Lego Star Wars series. Basically, Lego games have been taking on various different movie franchises like that, and I have done an Indiana Jones one as well. But the Lego Star Wars series has been just very successful, very popular. A lot of people are still enjoying those games. They are currently working on a new one, which is Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, which contains like episodes 1 to 9. I think the Lego games were getting quite formulaic and quite kind of cut and paste about what they were. Weren't very exciting, weren't really anything to write home about, because there wasn't stuff that you hadn't seen before. But with the Skywalker Saga, they had been making big changes, like reworking camera angles, the controls, a lot of stuff. So felt like it could have potentially a really good game as well. So yeah, it's not out yet, but one to keep an eye on is Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga game. That could be a very interesting one to watch. Yeah, the main games I'm going to talk about in this, there are some kind of honourable mentions I'm going to mention, which I'm not kind of classing or doing properly because they're not necessarily based on one story in particular, but rather set in like the game world or kind of the film world. But they have made pretty good impressions and people have enjoyed them. Alien Isolation is one that should get a mention. It is very suspense heavy. It is a very, very kind of spooky game, very eerie game. Trying to survive on a spaceship with the Xenomorph around. It's bona fide survival horror, really. It is kind of lives up to its hype. They can hide in lockers, you can do what you can to try and escape from the alien or aliens. Alien Isolation is kind of like a spin-off. It kind of takes place elsewhere in the Aliens universe with some different characters. You play Ripley's daughter 15 years after what happened in the first Alien film. It's basically you're trying to find a recorder that's got the fate of your mother on. It's supposed to essentially try and find it. But yeah, it's basically just trying to survive, really. It's not just the Xenomorph who want you as well. There are like the crew members of the ship as well who aren't wise, particularly friendly. Another game which has spawned or come from a movie franchise is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Obviously, Star Wars started off as a film. There's plenty of other media now, such as books, TV series, all sorts. And there's numerous games. Obviously, you could talk about the pod racing game, which is pretty fun. Some of the games based on the prequel trilogy, which were a bit kind of hit and miss, I think, from what people were saying. And also you had, like I say, you did an arcade game. Yes, various other companies have had a go at Star Wars. But EA, that Respawn had loose with the Star Wars franchise. A lot of people expected it to be, like, microtransactions or some kind of loot boxes stuck in. But Respawn, to their credit, made a really good single player adventure game. Fallen Order is one of the better games recently. Takes place between episodes 3 and 4. Or more accurately, just like episode 3 in Star Wars Rebels. You play as a Jedi called Cal, and basically you're trying to escape from the Jedi Purge, basically, where they're going around wiping out the Jedis. What a lot of people do like about Fallen Order is the fact that it is quite customizable. You can customize your lightsaber. You obviously have your Jedi powers, and there's lots of different varieties of landscapes. There's different planets you can visit. Each one's got lots to find. It's a bit like Metroid, where you can go back once you learn new powers. You can go back to other places and find more stuff, really. That's really cool. Next up, another game which which is loosely based on a film series, but arguably more on a book series as well, is Middle-earth: Shadow of War. It's set in the Lord of the Rings world and lore, so there were two Middle-earth games, Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War. Basically, Middle-earth: Shadow of War is a prequel to the movies, basically, effectively. A lot of people, it's quite close between the two games, which ones people prefer more, but a lot of people like Shadow of War because of its mechanics. So basically the way it works is pretty good. So it's pretty cool. It's quite, your actions do determine how it plays out, so no two playthroughs are exactly the same. Very interesting way it works, and a lot of people have enjoyed it. Like I said, it's not specifically based on a certain film, but more set in the game world itself, or film world itself. So that's why it's not like full on mentioned. It's more honourable, really, as well. Likewise, Mad Max, the Mad Max game, isn't based on a particular film from the series, but it did come out quite close to Fury Road, so could arguably kind of tie into that a bit. But the Mad Max game is kind of an open world action adventure game, which includes some vehicular combat as well. So kind of like Assassin's Creed. A lot of people say it's kind of like Arkham Asylum as well. Basically, you take the role as Max and you try to find fuel in the wasteland, basically. A lot of people have kind of credited it for its decent experience. And the vehicle combat is a lot of fun. And also, after battles, you can then find your items to outfit your vehicle, customise it, and you can kind of improve the stats, make it better as well. Yeah, so that kind of rounds up my honourable mentions for the games as well, so that's pretty cool. But like I say, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. Like, games based on films can be rushed out, literally copy and paste kind of games where it's collect-a-thons or very generic or quite bland. Or could be like just rushed and not very good. Or there can be games like the ones I mentioned today, which has decent work put into it. Has some clever ideas, some pretty cool features. It all depends what you're after in terms of your video games. And they are pretty fun. They are pretty good most of the time. So there are quite a few dud ones out there. I do remember playing Meet the Robinsons on the Wii, which was based on the Disney film, the same game. It was such a generic kind of collect-a-thon, and just like, didn't hold my attention very long, unfortunately, even though I loved the film to pieces, and the game just was a bit, okay. Well, apart from the Caribbean games, a bit like that for me as well. It was just kind of, like, very generic. And okay, it kind of fleshed out some of the story bits, but it's just kind of, yeah, I felt a bit of a chore sometimes, but yeah, like I say, that is gamble you take with games based on films. Yeah, so on to what I've been playing the last couple of weeks. We've got a few bits. I've got Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword I've been playing. Kind of getting stuck into Game Builder Garage as well. I downloaded the demo. I really enjoyed that, so I've downloaded the whole game. Had my first ever attempt at Minecraft. I literally walked around for about 5-10 minutes in this randomly generated world. Didn't have a clue what I was doing, so I kind of gave up. I hate to say that, I don't think Minecraft's for me. It's not my kind of game, unfortunately. I'd rather have kind of structure or some indication of what to do, what I can do. It's literally just dumped you in the middle of a field and kind of left you to it, so I didn't really know how to. No, like I say, I didn't put the effort in to try and find out how to, but I just didn't have any kind of inclination to learn how to build stuff or craft stuff, so it's just kind of, okay. So I got that through Xbox Game Pass. I didn't pay anything for it, so that's one good thing. Obviously, Animal Crossing, Tetris 99, little bit of Smash Bros. Here and there. Gonna get sucked back into Pokemon Snap next week when the update comes in. I haven't played that for a little while actually, since I stopped recording for the recording gameplay. I've also had another couple of goes at Mario Golf. It's been pretty cool. Shots are getting quite fiddly and kind of getting the finesse down, especially on the courses, quite interesting. In terms of Xbox, like I said, I've been doing Minecraft, people Forza Horizon 4, found another barn find, so that was pretty cool. It's just a lot of fun, really, playing games as always. Like I say, don't forget to check out Matt, Carrie and Alex next week with Game Junkies podcast. Had some pretty good stuff recently, so always worth checking out. And also their Dungeons and Junkies podcast as well. Some great stories. I've actually got invited to join the session as a special guest as well. So, yeah, I've got a story where I show up as well as a character for the D&D. For their D&D campaigns. So, make sure you check those guys out. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ChrisLewis37. My YouTube channel is Chris Reactor. I do share all my YouTube videos straight to Twitter. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll be able to find myself straight away. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Thank you for listening, if you still are. And until next time, speak to you soon, guys. Bye.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.